Welcome to the show, everybody. I should say welcome to The Awesome with Cody. I am Cody. And hello for everybody. So that was an awkward start. It is still June. So we're going to continue on with our theme for June. That theme would be time travel movies that are awesome, or awesome time travel movies. Yeah, whatever it is. It's the awesome of time travel movies. So today's movie, like I said last week, is Looper. Written and directed by Rian Johnson, whose career is fairly short for the most part. He's only made five movies. One, two, three, four movies. Four full-length movies. He's done a handful of episodes of TV. He did three Breaking Bad episodes. He did an episode of the show Terriers. He did a bunch of short films. Obviously, nobody's really ever seen. Because no one ever sees those for the most part. But his most recent project, he was the writer and director of Star Wars The Last Jedi. Some people didn't like that movie, but we're not here to talk about that. The movie that got me, or made me pay attention to him, was a movie called Brick, which also stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who is in Looper. And the reason why is it's a film noir, and I'll talk about this eventually one time. It's a film noir set in a post-high school time. It's an interesting movie, but it's a really good movie. He wrote and directed that as well. And then Brothers Bloom with Adrian Brody. Jason Sudeikis. It's Mark Ruffalo, Rachel Wise, and a couple other people that are in that too. He wrote and directed that movie. He did Looper. He was an actor in Rogue One, Star Wars Story. It's like short little bit. And of course, he wrote and directed Star Wars The Last Jedi, and is being the he's creating an all new anthology trilogy in the Star Wars universe coming up here soon. His next big project that he's working on. No word if he's writing or directing that. That's just, he's the creator of it. But an anthology trilogy, if you don't know what that is, that's different stories told within that universe. But they all happen to go around the same thing. Not the same people, but the same type of thing. So it could be like one event from three different points of view. We don't know yet. Anyways, that's an anthology. I don't know why I have to explain that to people. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is the star of this one. He plays Joe. Plays young Joe, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt has been a lot of things. He has been most recently. He was actually a voice in Star Wars: The Last Jedi, but most recently he was in a movie called Snowden, where he played Edward Snowden. He's known for his comedy stuff quite a bit. I mean, he's done The Night Before. He did one. We talked about him before. I don't know why. I don't need to go into it. But he was in 500 Days of Summer, which is one of my favorite air quotes romantic comedies. He's been in a lot of things. Doesn't get the credit I think he deserves. Whatever. Right. And it's not, you know, not here to pass those judgments. But I think he's a really good actor, and we'll talk about a little more how crazy he got with this movie. Playing old Joe, who is the older version of Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, young Joe, is Bruce Willis. You know Bruce Willis. I don't have to tell you who Bruce Willis is. Die Hard, that's all you need to know. This also has Emily Blunt in a small role. The last, I'm going to say, third of the movie? Last half of the movie, maybe? She's not like in it from the beginning. She's in the last part. I would say last half, I think. She plays the mother of a young child, I'll go over that in a little bit. But Emily Blunt, you know her. Quiet Place is probably the biggest, her newest biggest thing. Edge of Tomorrow, which is highly underrated science fiction movie, if you ask me. She's the new Mary Poppins. That's pretty dope, if you ask me. But yeah, anyways, it's Emily Blunt. You also have Paul Dano. Paul Dano is lesser known actor. If you saw him, be like, oh, that guy. But he's pretty, I think, pretty well established actor. His best performance that he's ever done, and I've seen, I don't think I've seen him in everything he's ever done, but I've seen him in a lot, was There Will Be Blood, which is the Paul Thomas Anderson movie about oil with, Paul Dano's in it. He plays a vital role in that movie, but Daniel Day-Lewis movie that he's in with that. He's been in a lot of really good things. He's been in Little Miss Sunshine, which is a critical role. He was really good in that. I don't like that movie fully, but he was really good in it. He played a piece of shit character in Cowboys and Aliens, which is another movie people just shit on for some reason, even though it's a fantastic movie. Well done. Epic, a really good sci-fi movie. One of those fun ones. He was in 12 Years a Slave. He was amazing in Prisoners, if you haven't seen Prisoners. That one's by Denis Villeneuve, or Dinis, I guess. I don't know how to say his name. I think it's Denis Villeneuve, but he was in that. He was in, if you haven't seen Swiss Army Man, I think it's on Netflix. It could be on Hulu, but that one's a really interesting movie where he plays a corpse. Yep, I know. But Paul Dano, he's been in a bunch of stuff. He's a really good actor, given the right material, I think, but really good actor. We have Piper Perabo, who plays a small role in this movie as well. She's been in a bunch of things. I don't know if anything really big to tell you she's been in. Been a lot of different things over the years. Another one of those actors is like, oh, I like her. She's in this. Jeff Daniels has a small role in this movie as well. He plays a man from the future. We'll get into that in a minute. Remember time travel. Noah Sagan, not as super not well-known actor, but plays a very good role in this movie because of the role, the character he plays is tremendous. He's been in a bunch of stuff too. Small roles all over the place in movies, which I think you should probably check out. So he's been a few TV shows. He oddly enough was in one of the same episodes that Rian Johnson directed of Breaking Bad. He played a fireman. He's a good kid too. One of those guys where you'd recognize him if you saw him. And lastly, Pierce Gagnon. He plays Sid in the movie. He's the young man. He is only 12 years old. He was born in 2005. Only been acting for the last 8 years. He played in The Crazies was his very first movie, which is fucking crazy. Crazies. It's weird to think about that he's in that movie because he's only five at the time. The movie's, if you ask me, fucking terrifying. But most recently, he was in he was in the new season of Twin Peaks. If you guys watch that, he was Sonny Jim Jones. He's a little kid that's in that series or in that season. That's his newest thing. But he was in The Crazies. He was in Looper. Wish I Was Here. He voiced a character named Tiago in Rio 2. And then he was in Tomorrowland. He played Nate Newton, which was the little... is that George Clooney's little self? Young self, I think, right? I don't remember. I didn't actually like that movie too much. It was good-ish, but super creepy, if you ask me. But that's Pierce Gagnon. which we'll get into why I talk about him because he's so young. But yeah, basically, so the premise of this movie is this. There's these people called loopers. Loopers are hitmen in the past. So time travel is not in the time frame that the movie takes place in. Time travel, it won't be invented for another 30 years. And it's immediately outlawed due to the terrible things you can do with it. So criminal organizations will use it to eliminate bodies. So in the future, if you do something that they don't want you to, they will take you, they will send you back, and you will be shot on arrival. And then your body is disposed of in the past, so you don't exist anymore. And you go no further. So they're loopers because they close a loop. So they close a loop of this person's life. Now, the other reason they're called loopers is because eventually they will have to close their own loop, which means a future version of them will be sent back. They kill them. And I'll explain why they don't know it's them. And then they get a big payout and live out their lives until obviously the part where they get sent back and killed for various reasons. And I'll get into more why that is a big thing in this. So basically, in this future, this present day of 2044, Joe, who is works for the Kansas City Crime Syndicate as a looper, is one of the most prolific ones, and he has he's very regimented about his life. He's learning French because eventually he's going to quit when his loop closes, and I'll get to that in a minute. And he's going to take his money and he's going to go live out his life in Paris, or in France, I should say, not just Paris, but France. He is friends, air quotes, work friends with a guy named Seth, who's played by Paul Dano. And Seth is, demonstrates a key point in this movie, which is what it referred to as TK, which is telekinesis. Basically, a minority of the population has ability to use low key telekinesis or TK to do little parlor tricks, float coins, move objects, things like that. Small objects, nothing like crazy. It's not force pulling a fucking the space shuttle down or something crazy like that. It's just being able to move stuff or move small objects like floating a coin in his hand. And it's through this, they kind of give you this shaping how the world is with the way that it is. They are loopers. Essentially, they're hitmen. But because they're not killing people in the present day people, it's a little bit, but they're still bad and they're still illegal. But they work for a guy who's Jeff Daniels' character, who's actually from the future. He's sent back one way because that's how time travel works. It's only one way. Named Abe, he is from the future, and he is basically sent back to run this group of loopers for the boss man in the future. And he lives a life of luxury, he makes a lot of money because he knows what's going to happen. So he basically controls the city, all crime, all the cops, all that fun stuff. So he's a man, and piss off. Plus, he's a fucking maniac. He likes to break people's hands and shit with hammers. I digress. I'll get there in a minute. So through this beginning, you see Joe do a couple hits. He goes to the club that they all go to, which is also the main headquarters for Abe's organization and the loopers. And so you get to briefly meet some of the other loopers, and this is when you learn about closing the loop. So during this, Joe and Seth are said, hey, so-and-so is closing his loop. And they explain, the voiceover of Joe narrating it for us tells us what closing the loop means. Basically means a target's sent back and you shoot him. When you cut open the jacket to get your payment, which is usually silver bars, it's gold bars and a lot of them. So, meaning you just shot your future self, and your loop is closed, and you have to go on your way. Boom, there you go. Because, you know, any man who doesn't have a future past this is not worth their salt, but also, you know, their they know kind of what they're going to end, so they want to go live their life up before they're thrown back and shot by their younger selves. Time, you know what I mean? So during this, you go through a big montage. Oh, you meet Kid Blue, who is Abe's, I don't want to say right-hand man, but he's one of the elite Gatman, or Gatmen. He's these pistols instead of the blunderbusses that the loopers use, which essentially is a shatter shotgun that just destroys the target within 15 feet, and it's very brutal. And so he's kind of a fuck-up. And there's a reference where, you know, did he shoot his other foot off because he gets hit in the head with a door, drops his gun, and the gun goes off. But I'll get to that in a minute. So basically, you see that a bunch of loops are being closed, and there's all this rumblings about how, you know, like, it's kind of crazy because all these people they work with, their loops are closing. And then Seth ends up showing up one night at Joe's apartment saying that he didn't close his basically older self came through. He didn't close the loop and he got away. So old Seth got away. And when this happens, they need to eliminate him because he can't be in the past because of the danger of the time travel, you know, being able to change the future and all the fun stuff, because he knows what's going to happen. So he's on the run. He knows he needs to get away, but the problem is he doesn't know he needs to get away, but also young Seth needs to get away, because if they get young Seth, they can easily eliminate old Seth. They do it in a very interesting way in this movie. So if you just shoot him, he just goes away. But they need to be able to dispose of the body, so they need to have him, right? So you think, oh, all of you is capture young Seth, shoot him, random dead body, right? Well, they need to make sure that that random dead body isn't found and somehow trace back to them, but also trace back from the future because of, you know, future radiation and all different evidence that he could be from the future. Anyways, plus it's a random dead body. And they do DNA testing, going to show up as this young man instead of this old guy who he actually is. So Seth goes on the run. He mistakenly goes to Joe's house, which he shouldn't have done, but he wasted all his money. So he's trying to go to Joe because he knows that he keeps half of his silver as like a retirement thing. So he's going to go there and beg for money. Well, they follow him there. Joe hides him in his safe. He then gets brought in by the Gatmen to talk to Abe about giving up Seth. He at first doesn't want to do it, but then they say, hey, this is the deal. You either give Seth up or I take half his silver I know you've been hoarding, and we get him anyways. So he reluctantly gives up Seth that he's hiding in his floor safe in his apartment, and they get him. And then you get to see how they got rid of old Joe. So instead of just shooting him and saying, hey, that we got rid of old Joe, they slowly start cutting pieces off of him. Yeah, so when they cut a pinky off of young Seth, old Seth's finger just disappears all of a sudden. But then they carve a message into his hand, into his arm, on his inside of his forearm. They carve in an arrow, and it says, be at, and they give him an address. And basically, the longer it takes to get there, the more parts they cut off. So they start cutting off more fingers. They cut off his nose. As he's driving, they cut off one of his feet, so he crashes in a car. He does end up crashing the car because they cut off more of his foot. He's trying to stumble away, and they cut off the other foot. And he's going over, and he's missing hands and missing his nose and his legs. And they finally get him. They shoot him. They bring him inside. And you see on the medical bed, young Seth all carved up. And you realize that's, you know, how they're going to get rid of both of them. But you don't really know. Actually, you don't know if they kill young Seth. They do. They carved him up. So, like, he probably is not worth having around. But you need to punish him anyways. But now they shot the body. If they just shoot young Seth, it just disappears anyways, but then get rid of the bodies, no problem. So as you can imagine, this leads to all of a sudden. So when Seth shows up, he tells Joe that there's this guy in the future named the Rainmaker who has overthrown all five major bosses and is closing all the loops. And you don't know why, you don't know who he is, but you just know that, oh, that means Joe's is coming up very quickly, probably. And so it does. He shows up, but he shows up without a hood on. And so Joe sees his future self, and before he can react, old Joe turns his back. When young Joe shoots the blunderbuss, it hits his back, which is covered in the gold bars, saving his old Joe's life. He then pitches a gold bar at young Joe, distracts him, runs over, knocks him out, takes his truck, and goes on the lam. Well, he can't kill young Joe because it's killing himself, and he's there for a reason. We just don't know what it is yet. So it goes on a thing where basically you get, this is where it gets kind of crazy, is because this happens, young Joe knows he needs to get the fuck out of here before they find out, because there's word sent down that the loop has been closed. So when he doesn't show up with the gold bars and the fact that he did close his loop or not, they would basically hunt down old Joe the same way they did old Seth, by capturing him and, you know, capturing young Joe and torturing him until old Joe shows up. So he makes his way back to his apartment, and he finds that the door's open and that his vault, his floor safe is open, and the silver's being pulled out. Well, he goes to get a pack of stuff, and he's going to pack a bunch of it. He notices a burning cigarette that's still burning there. So then he hides. He realizes he watches as Kid Blue walks in, goes down in the safe, and starts pulling out the silver. Well, he's gonna go down there. So Joe tackles Kid Blue into it. Yes, it's young Joe. Tackles Kid Blue into it, locking him in there, crushing his hand, and saying, "You know, I'm gonna fix this." One of the other muscle comes in. There's a gunfight. Young Joe jumps out the window and then ends up falling over the railing and landing in a car. Well, then it cuts to back to the time where he needs to shoot his old self. This time it does. So you may be asking yourself, well, how is this possible, right? So because it's a time travel movie and it's a loop, he doesn't die when he falls off the fire escape. He then has to change his future. So he knows as he goes, he has to be in the part where he does end up coming back to the past through his loop, and he needs to let himself be killed by his younger self. So that's what he does. Lives his life off where he comes back and he gets his loop closed. He shows up, but he doesn't, this time he shows up with a hood on and he doesn't turn his back. He gets shot. That means young Joe now gets to get away with closing his loop. Well, he takes all of his money. He goes, and he ends up going to Singapore because of something that Abe told him, that he's from the future. He knows that he shouldn't go to France. He should go to Singapore. He ends up going to Singapore. Now, this is where it gets trippy, because Abe is from the future, he knows technically that Joe is going to end up in Singapore, and he needs to because that's where his life changes. But he takes his money. He starts burning through it like crazy. Parties. He gets addicted to drugs. Burns through it. He becomes a hitman to help finance himself because he's burned through all of his silver and gold. And he gets even more addicted to drugs. He gets even more violence. He starts killing people like crazy. You basically see him age throughout the years. He becomes Bruce Willis at middle or older age. I would say middle age, you know, 40s. Having a pretty rough life. And then it jumps to him being married to an Asian lady and being very happy. Well, guess what happens? Yep, that's right. They come to close his loop. So you don't know why he's mad. And this is, at this point, you don't know yet why. They just know they grab him. They're going to bring him in and they're going to do it. And so you actually get to see them. They bag his head. They drag him to this place. You see this old abandoned warehouse. You're like, oh shit, this is where they dump people in time, right? So he basically kills the people who are trying to tie him. He takes it and gets in the machine, and that's when he goes back and when he basically avoids getting shot. So he's retroacted being unshot again, if that makes sense to you guys. So this one knows that when he goes back, younger him's going to shoot him. He knows from previously, the reason he changed it originally is because if he shows up with a hood on, he's going to flinch for a second, give him a chance to turn his back and be saved from being shot. That's where the loop comes back around. So it resets that loop, causing young Joe to miss the shot because he hits him in the back with the gold bars, gets knocked out, and has to go on the run. Well, because this old Joe knows what's going to happen, he goes and saves him, saying, hey, I need to tell you what's going on, and I need you to let me, you know, do what I need to do. And then he goes from there, but he doesn't, he doesn't really explain everything to him. He's basically, he's like, I need you to be safe, because if they kill you, they kill me, and I can't have that. So, he dumps him, goes on the run, trying to figure everything out. Young Joe needs him to do that, so he does the whole trick where he basically carves a message into his arm to meet somewhere. And meet is the diner that Joe usually goes to after he finishes a job. Which is this diner in the middle of nowhere out in the fucking farmlands of Kansas. And so he carves in the name Beatrix into his arm, which is the waitress that always talks to Joe at the diner. So old Joe shows up, and then he explains to him what's going on. He says, I don't have time to tell you all about how time travel works. This is what's going to happen. I've come back to stop our loop from being closed. If you let me do this, then our lives will be back to normal and we're good to go. And he tells him that the Rainmaker is this guy who single-handedly took down all five bosses of the crime families. And young Joe's like, that's bullshit. There's no way that he could have done it by himself. And he doesn't explain how. Nobody knows how. He just knows that the Rainmaker is getting revenge for his mom being killed in front of him and his jaw being shot off or broken in some way, shot some way, so he has a metal jaw. Well, he knows he has this number. He doesn't tell Young Joe what it is, but he has this map. Well, they get an altercation because the Gatmen show up. Right as they get an altercation, Gatmen show up. So they get, he has to protect Young Joe from getting shot. They then have to, he separates knowing that he can't kill him, but he needs to get out. So he gets a gun, trying to help the Gatman shoot old him, to help close his loop. So he's, out of danger of being eliminated. Old Joe escapes, into the fields. Some of the Gatmen are following him, but then some of the other Gatmen see young Joe, and we're like, we're gonna grab him. He has to run away from them, and then he has the piece of the map that he tore off that he has to figure out what it is, but he knows where it's at, so he goes there, and it's his farm. He meets the lady who runs it and her young child. Well, he thinks that this is the young child that's gonna be going after. He knows that old Joe has three likely candidates, but he has this number, he doesn't know what it is. Well, she says, I can't trust you. When she sees the number, she knows exactly what it is. And so what it is actually her son's birth date and his ID from the hospital. So now the young Joe knows this. He goes, oh, this must be it, because he has his birthday. He's like, how many other children were born, could possibly have been born on that day in this area? And she's like, one or two. And so he knows that there's other ones. So then it shows one of the most poignant and most powerful scenes in this is old Joe shows up at this house, sees this kid walking in, follows him in, and ends up shooting the little kid. And it hits him really hard. He ends up going to back to his bridge, realizing he's still there, and just realized that he shot a kid. So he breaks down and starts crying. The next, there's a little thing where basically Emily Blunt's character, the mom on the farm, and young Joe kind of build this very tedious relationship, basically. He's like, telling her what's going to happen. She doesn't really believe him, but because he has her son's birthday, she kind of does. She's like, you know, whatever. Then he basically says, I'm going to stay here until he shows up, and then I'm going to kill him, and I'm going to be out of your life. Well, she tells Sid, her son, not to talk to him and not go outside. So through some scenes that happen, you find out that and Joe doesn't see this, but you see it on behalf of Sarah, who's the mom, and Sid, the child, that he has a temper, but he also has TK abilities, and they're very powerful. Giving you kind of, and this is a spoiler, the idea of, oh shit, this kid is super powerful. He's so powerful, she knows. She goes and gets inside of a giant safe that she has in her bedroom to protect herself from whatever's going to happen. Well, that passes. Joe has no idea why the kid was screaming or what was going on, because he was in the house. Later on, a Gatman shows up to the house, and it played by Garrett Dillahunt, which I did not bring up on the list. I'm surprised I didn't. That I forgot to bring him, put him on the list. I had out so many people. He's known as Jesse. His name is Jesse. He's known as being one of the best marksmen of the Gatmen. So Joe tells her to be careful. And he's gonna be there just in case. She's trying to tell Jesse that, you know, her husband's gonna be back from the city anytime soon, that she's there alone. There's no one else there. Then while they're sitting down talking, Sid comes down the stairs silently, goes in. Jesse hears something, goes in the kitchen. Sid comes out and shows Joe a secret door. A door. They go into it. It ends up being a secret tunnel to a hatch in the middle of the yard that his grandfather built. And so Jesse checks the house, sees there's no one else there, leaves. Well, because of the events that he basically saved Sid, as it seems, really Sid saved him. Sarah and young Joe end up sleeping together. She starts to have feelings for him, which makes old Joe now know who he's going after, because he starts getting the memories now, because again, it's the same person. But he's afraid that if he doesn't do what he needs to too soon, that he will never leave, go to Singapore and fall in love with his wife, who you find out was murdered during his kidnapping to close his loop. So they get him. He gives up his weapon. They have him on his knees. They're about to put the bag on his head. One of the Gatmen gets startled by someone in the backyard, fires a shot, end up shooting his wife and killing her. They drag her in. He sees her. That's when he hatches his plan to go back, not get shot by his younger self, and then kill the Rainmaker as a child. Okay, that's where the loop comes. That's where his history comes from. So now he's getting memories of, he's going to forget his wife. So he needs to make sure he gets to the farm, kills the kid before Joe can fall in love with Sarah, and the Rainmaker gets away or to whatever, right? So he can't live. So, because if he does this, he's just going to blink out of existence, and he still has a chance to you know, meet his wife and live happily ever after, because she saved his life from being, you know, a drug addict, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's the same thing ends up happening with Joe and Sarah, as he goes through withdrawals and Sarah nurses him. And then so there's that link. There's that, oh, she's the one that's nursed me back to health. You know, they kind of have feelings for each other, blah, blah, blah. And he can see in his memories that this is falling apart. And so he basically knows exactly what's going on. So young Joe comes downstairs where he thinks he's going to meet up with Sarah and all these things. But then when he comes downstairs, Jesse shows back up and is holding Sarah at gunpoint. Well, young Joe has to convince Jesse not to kill her. But he's going to put his weapon down. He'll let him take him in as long as they leave him alone. Well, Sid starts coming down the stairs again and makes a noise. Jesse turns, sees him. The kid gets startled. He falls down the stairs, starts to get panicky again, because that's what happens when he gets, so you're falling down the stairs. His powers erupt. When he crashes down and lands, Joe's running over to grab him off the stairs, but instead Sarah basically tackles him outside the door out and pushes him outside the door. And right then everything in the living room starts to float and spin around, and including Jesse, and Sid is screaming at the top of his lungs and he's mad. And right as it goes in slow motion and everything's spinning around and shattering, and you see blood starting to shoot out of Jesse's chest and back, and you realize he's being torn apart by this kid. And all of a sudden you get the realization, like, oh shit. A, there's no twist. This is the Rainmaker, and this is how he got rid of the five crime bosses, is because he has this super powerful TK capability, and he probably tore him to shreds. So an explosion happens, goes back to regular speed. Windows blow out, shrapnel everywhere, blood just covered him. Joe realizes, oh shit, he is the Rainmaker. If I kill him now, he's now on old Joe's side. He's like, oh, if I kill this kid now, none of this is going to happen. I go back to normal. So he chases after, he goes inside, sees the wreckage, grabs Jesse's gat in his blunderbuss, is chasing into the fields of the farm, Sid, because he knows that he went through the hatch. So he runs out there, sees the kid kneeling down, covered in blood and crying. And he's realized, oh shit, this is just a kid. I can't kill him. I'm not a fucking monster, like an old version of me. At this time, you get the next child that old Joe's going after, and it ends up being the daughter, or the, I don't know if it's a daughter, it looks like a daughter, or the kid of Piper Perabo's character, Susie. And he's like, oh shit, she had a kid. There's a deleted scene that kind of tells you this already. But he goes in there and reluctantly eventually goes in, and he's going to go kill him. But he's seen on security cameras one point outside the house. And so when he goes back the second time, Kid Blue is setting a trap for him to catch him. And when he catches him, he brings him to the headquarters, to Abe, and they're going to, they're going to kill him like they need to. But old Joe turns the tables, makes Kid Blue shoot himself in the foot with his gat because he's an idiot, busts it out, shoots a bunch of the dudes, shoots the armory guy, gets a P90, I think he has at that point, starts mowing down everybody, gets a second P90, starts mowing down even more people and hunting down and going after Abe because, he needs to get all these dudes off his back. So he's going, he's just murdering everybody. All the gat men are just getting eliminated. Makes his way in, and eventually you find out that he kills Abe and all of his men. Well, they know this is going to happen because Jesse's been here, so he knows that they know he's there because he would have told them already. So young Joe gears up, get ready to kill anybody, any looper, any Gatman that shows up, as well as old Joe. So he makes his way out to try to the main road to stop him from getting to the farmhouse, right? Well, he sees this this weird little truck show up, and it's old Joe, and he's like, hey, this is full as can be with silver and gold. Take it and go. Let me finish the business, and our life will be better. Well, he's not going to have it happen. He's like, you can't kill this kid. He's like, he's a monster. And he goes, but he's just a kid. you know, it doesn't have to happen this way. So they get in a gunfight. Well, he's far enough away where the blunderbuss isn't doing much. It's very hard to hit because it's a scatter shot. And from more than 15 feet away, you can't hit shit for the most part. Well, out of nowhere comes Kid Blue, who just found Abe and all of his men dead on one of the hover bikes and knocks over young Joe, turns around. He's going to basically take them both out. Well, again, young Joe has the blunderbuss. He's trying to hit him, but he can't. So he starts shooting the ground, causing a dust cloud to come up. And as Kid Blue rushes in, he shoots Kid Blue and kills him. The bike crashes, and he's now gonna turn his attention to old Joe. Well, old Joe has taken this moment of distraction of young Joe, and he's going to the farm. Well, Sarah and Sid, who were in a truck that were headed, I should correct that part, were in a truck that saw old Joe in the car, and then Sid wanted Sarah to stop, so he used his powers to flip the truck by accident, of course, causing them to have to run through the winds, and of course, old Joe shooting at him. That's when young Joe shows up. They have the firefight. Kid Blue shows up. I forgot the sequence of that. So old Joe's making his way into the trying to chase him down. He's firing at him, and she tells Sid to run into the stocks. He's gonna be hard for him to hit you. I'm gonna distract him. Well, when he does this, he shoots and hits Sid in the face, carving a trench in his cheek. And And so young Joe sees this, says, "Oh, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to cause the Rainmaker because I can see what's going to happen. Old Joe's going to shoot the mom. He's going to shoot Sarah. The kid's going to run away. He's going to get on a train and go somewhere where he's going to basically build power and seek revenge. And it's all going to unfold the same way, but it's going to be old Joe that ended up doing it. So he caused a loop anyways. So the only recourse he has is to stop old Joe. And the easiest way to do it with the blunderbuss, because he's too far away and his legs are messed up, is he turns the blunderbuss towards himself. Sarah sees this and starts to yell no, but she knows there's no stopping him. She knows what he has to do. And he fires off the blunderbuss against his chest, blowing out, like right into his heart, just blowing out his back and killing him. And then old Joe's boom disappears because there's no future him, because it's end where he ends. And then so that's where essentially the movie ends. Sarah goes over, sees the body, sees the flipped over little truck thing was full of money, and she can basically hide and do whatever she needs because she has all his money to help protect Sid and raise him right so he doesn't become a villain and do the things he did. Boom. That's Looper, everybody. Longer episode because this movie had a lot to it. Real quick, the new thing I'm doing is telling you guys what I've been reading. So I did finish that Stephen King book I talked about last week, The Outsider. Fully finished it. But this week I read Space Team, The Search for Splurt, which is the third book in the Space Team series. Super hilarious books. It is a mashup of, not a mashup, but it's in the line of Guardians of the Galaxy, Galaxy Quest, very spoofish in a way. It's extremely funny, very well written. It's not by anybody you're going to really know, because, well, it's not that famous of a book series. I think it needs to be. I want to say his name is Barry J. Hutchinson. I think his name, hold on, I'll pull up right now. Barry J. Hutchinson, that is not him. There we go, Barry J. Hutchinson. He wrote a bunch of books for children. Then he wrote books for adults, which are his Space Team series, which I'll tell you what's crazy about this is he's written 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, or at least has 11 planned. He wrote the first two in 2016, and then in 2000, they're not very long books. They're fairly short reads. I mean, I finished it within a week, and I'm actually on the fourth one. I started today. But you have, he wrote the first two the first year at the end of 2016, then wrote 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 6 more in 2017. And then this year he's planning on releasing 3 more in that series. He's also spawned off, I guess, a character from book 6 that is a character named Dan Deadman. And he has 3 books by him in that series called it's the Dan Deadman series. And I plan on reading those afterwards. I don't want to jump ahead just in case there's anything about that links them to him in that world. But they're based in the same world and things that Space Team's built in. So Space Team is this. So Cal Carver is a criminal, is a con man, who is mistakenly kidnapped by aliens because he's thought to be a cannibal who's actually his cellmate in this new prison he's in. They mistake Cal for him, kill everybody in the prison, take him, and then they set him on an adventure. It's pretty fun. But there's really clever stuff that's in it. One is, instead of having a bunch of cursing in it, there's this chip that's implanted inside everybody in space. That it's a translator chip. It also has a sensor chip in it, so he can't cuss. So whenever he tries to say something, it comes out as something else. So instead of the word shit, it's shiz. And different words have different ones, like fonk is fuck and things like that. It's really clever, but really funny too. Really good books. Like I said, they're very short. So if you want a good, fun sci-fi read, I definitely recommend Space Team by Barry J. Hutchinson. The first one, if you read the first one and you don't like it, don't continue on. I'll say that right now. But so far, the first 3 books are hilarious. Just everybody in it is ridiculous, and Cal is just an amazing character, and it's completely out of his depth. It's super hilarious. But yeah, that's about it for this week's episode. It went long, but I thought I'd tell you what I'm reading. Next week, I'll tell you about the next Space Team book, and also a couple comic books that I've read, I'm going to read because I know it's coming out here pretty soon. But yeah, that's it for this week's episode, everybody. Again, I'm Cody, and this is The Awesome Cody, and usual, let's be awesome. All right, guys, talk to you next week.